the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. That's our Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site that, of course, covers your Arizona Cardinals. Episode 656, recording with my co-host, Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, as we are 1 week from the NFL draft. We are 1 week and 1 hour in terms of recording. Now, granted, the episode probably won't go live until Friday, so we're, you know, 6 days away from the draft at that point when it goes live, Seth. But we've done the heavy hitting here. We've talked about the Cardinals' needs. We've looked at all the positions. And now it's just a few more final projections, and we were just talking about this. We have hit draft fatigue point. This happens to me every year. It's about a week and a half before the draft, and I'm just like, oh, can I write one more pre-draft article? I don't know, but I'm gonna for another week. So
right, exactly, and you have to just kind of power through, right? That's kind of where we're at right now, and you know, it's all the as Ron Wolfley used to say, the subterfuge of it all and things of that nature. And you know, the reality is this time of year is a lot of fun, Jess. I mean, it's so much fun, but it's also so monotonous at the end because there's not new information coming out, right?
And there so, isn't. There isn't. It's weird, crazy thoughts. Now, I will say this. If it were just a fan, like we're doing this just as fans, I think it would be far more fun still. But because we do so much pre-draft content, so many mock drafts, so many projections, so many scenarios, so many rumors and meetings and everything, we're like, okay. I think it's more draft fatigue for us. I know web traffic says that there is a little bit of a lull in the final week leading up to the draft and before all the content hits all at the same time.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we're at right now, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, at the end of the day, you can only discuss the same information so much. And that's why, you know, for me, I always try to space out, for instance, where I'm, or more accurately, space out, you know, the top 30, who's coming in, and then discuss those guys and kind of go from that direction of things. But also, like you said, we can tell that it doesn't drive the content strut quite as much as it should, because at the end of the day, you know, as much as people are into it, they're not into it. Like they don't care about a day three guy that the Cardinals had in for a top 30 visit. Like that's just not exactly what they're looking for. Like, you know, right now the big thing is, you know, who are they going to draft on day one, maybe day two, but outside of that, it's very, you know, it's very cut and dry, and it's kind of like, all right, let's get through this so we can get to complaining or saying we were right, we knew all along type stuff. That's where the next session comes in, right?
And what we're doing in this episode, so we've done our positional previews. We got a couple of topics we're going to cover. We're going to talk about the possibility of trading in round one. We're not going to talk about trades on day two or day three because, my goodness, that's way, way, way too hard to do. And then what I want to do is rank the players. Each of us are going to rank the players that we want, the likely available players that the Cardinals could take in round one. And then we're going to kind of go through what we would like the Cardinals to do positionally, player-wise. What would be the ideal scenarios for the seven rounds? So let's start with trades. We know that Monty Austin Fort is a trade guy. He's made, half a dozen draft day trades over the last 2 years, including two first-round trades 2 years ago. That said, how likely is it that you think that the Cardinals will make a trade up or back in round one?
I think there's a couple scenarios where they could. You and I were discussing it off the air. There's one team that's kind of a bugaboo right now, not necessarily for the Cardinals, but for other teams, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are in an odd position, obviously, with Trey Hendrickson still being disgruntled. And then, you know, what are they going to do off of that? And so one of the scenarios that's coming about right now is, would a team jump the Bengals to get a player that has, you know, potentially fallen? And fallen is a loose term that we use to try to, you know, gain some insight into things. But, you know, from the consensus board, a player that has fallen. And the hard part is something that you and I've talked about is, like, these are guys that probably the Cardinals would draft, right? So Jalen Walker, a Michael Williams, a Shamar Stewart, you know, maybe even a Mike Green, maybe a Jahad Campbell. Like, if one of those guys is available at 16, would the Cardinals trade back, even if they had them high on their board, so to speak? So that's the one team that we've heard that other teams could be actively trying to get ahead of, to find, you know, an answer for that edge rusher position. You know, and then from there, it just becomes, how does it all kind of work out? I think, you know, there is the question of Shedeur Sanders. If Shedeur Sanders is available at 16, does that prompt a team like the Steelers, like the Browns, who theoretically haven't drafted somebody at this point? You know, would one of those teams want to come up? And then the other team that I've heard could be interested in moving up, but, you know, it's always interesting if you're willing to help a team like this, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Like, would Kansas City, let's say, you know, Josh Simmons is available at 16, and they go, well, we really need that tackle. Would you be willing to move down to 31, get 31, 63, and I think it would have to be probably 66 as well for Josh Simmons, and I don't know how fans would feel about that, right? Like, so that's why the trades right now are quiet. The other thing, and you mentioned it before, there's just really no player at this juncture that teams are like, I got to get up and get this guy. Again, using the trade value chart, and we can, whether it's the Rich Hill model or the older school one, to go up to the Arizona Cardinals from, like, the Chiefs, it would take the Chiefs, you know, 31, 63, and then probably their 95 pick, because that would get you to right around 302 points, or right over 302 points. The Cardinals pick worth about 305. So, you know, that's how you'd have to look at it. Like, is that something that you would be willing to do? Do you really want to trade down to 31? That's the first question you have to answer, right?
Yeah, that's my, but it, even if they did, they might be willing to jump back up, as we saw them do in 2023 when they traded back down to 12 and then back up to number 6. So if they were to fall that far back, I would almost expect them to move back up, although that does get a little dicey. In that sense. But that is an interesting notion that you bring up, of someone wanting to jump Cincinnati, when the truth is, when picks 15, 16, and 17, Falcons, Cardinals, Bengals, all three of those teams are those are all edge teams right now. Like, if you're leaning towards a position that they're going to be looking at, all three of those teams. So it might even be a case, if there's a team that they're going to have to move up to 14.
Right. And that's the hard part, is, like, not only are those all those teams looking at kind of similar players, but they all, you know, have needs along the same lines, and you know, they've had similar failures as of late, and so those are all interesting dynamics to play with throughout this thing. You know, I think the only way a trade up happens into this area, and again, this is just me spitballing here, and I haven't even really done the math, would be if a team really likes Shador and he falls down enough to the, and then you're like, I have to get, or we have to get in front of Pittsburgh, right? And so that's the one. But what team would that be? Like, what team picking below Arizona would that be? And the only ones that make sense would be Cleveland and New York. So then are you willing to move out of round one potentially and then come back up, as you mentioned, or like, how would that go about? So, you know, those are all
one possible scenario. The Rams, but would you trade with the Rams if they're looking to get their next quarterback? That would be kind of crazy.
Right. It's not, I don't think, and I'm with you. I just don't think that's something that you can think about doing. If you're a Cardinals team, right? Like you can't be like, oh yeah, we'll give you. And again, I guess if you've graded out Shador and you're like not worried about it, then maybe, right? But for the most part, it seems like that would be a fool's errand on your end, or on the Cardinals end.
You know, I could see Pittsburgh coming up, and that would be a reasonable drop.
Here's the problem, Josh, or Jess, sorry. Here's the problem, Jess. They only have a third round pick.
It's true.
So you, I mean, yeah, 16 to 21 is probably only worth that third round pick, but they're like basically going all in if they do that. They're basically saying like, oh yeah, Shador is our guy. That's the missing piece for us. You know, now let's say they trade. Now let's say it's 21 and TJ Watt. Would you know? And I know people would be like, well, that's not, you know, they would give up TJ Watt, but maybe they're willing to give up Watt to somebody else for a three, so they have two threes, right? Like, those are all the things we would have to explore about it. But it's a tough one, man, because it's not as simple as just straight up being like, oh yeah, we'll make this move, right? Like, there's not a one player situation where you're like, oh yeah, this is the guy that we're going to move up for and go get.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so ultimately, I don't think that the Cardinals will end up making a deal in round one, because I think they have some players that they'd like. And I think the players that, if you're willing to trade back, like Pittsburgh, that range works, because then you can still nail down one of the players that you like, because you're just, it's pick 21, so you're dropping down five spots. Maybe if Colston Loveland is falling and the Chargers get a little antsy, you could see them moving up. I would only be comfortable with the Cardinals moving into the early to mid 20s, right? And from there, like, you start going, well, now you're missing out. Though we've talked about this. We've talked about this in the sense that, well, maybe it doesn't really matter, because the way they've got their prospects graded, like after pick 15, from 16 to 45, it's all the same.
Right. Well, and so, like, what if, to your point about antsy, what if you know, and again, these are all what if scenarios, but what if what if Arizona's on the board and Houston says, hey, 25-58, because Houston has two third round picks, 25-58, we'll give for 16. And you sit there and you go, all right, I mean, they can go get, whether it's Simmons or Banks, or if it's T McMillan's falling down, right? Like, we can go get one of those guys. They can go get one of those guys. And like you said, you're sitting at 25 and you're going, okay, at that point, I'm comfortable that Kenneth Grant, Derek Harmon, Walter Nolan will all be on the board. And you know, while they're different players, I'm comfortable with any of those those options, then yeah, you 1000% do that. But you also have to understand that there's a chance that if you do that, you're putting yourself in a position where, you know, are, you know, is your best option Gray Zabel, Tyler Booker at that point, right? So like you said, it's an interesting conundrum, because it's not cut and dry by any means.
Oh, no, it's a very interesting scenario. Round like day two, day three picks, those are going to happen, because that then you are trying, like, the teams are really like, one, it doesn't cost as much to move up, especially after round two, doesn't cost that much to move up in round three. And the Cardinals traded back last year in round two. They traded back again in round three. They've been collecting picks. And this year, it'll be interesting to see if they do that. But I just think it's a little unlikely. But and trades are fun. If they go the route of trade and they don't have an edge that they're like, yes, I want, like, say it's Mykal Williams and he's off the board already, but someone else really loves Shamar Stewart and they're like, that's not my cup of tea. And they kind of have their eyes. You could go drop back in early 20s. Maybe it's kind of what makes. If you drop back to like to 25, maybe you feel comfortable with a Donovan Jackson. Like Donovan Jackson, I'm seeing even a couple of mocks that have him go in round one. Maybe you're comfortable with that pick then and going a different route with your position, with your edge guy, because you like the guys that are going to be available at 45. And if you want interior guys, you can get that at 78, or even with the other pick that you pick up. If it's another second rounder, you can do it that way. And so I coming next on the rest of your podcast, Mr. Curtis, talk a little bit. Now let's talk about first round picks. Who are the picks? Let's rank the players that we want the Cardinals to take. That's coming next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. The Cardinals sit at the number 16 pick. Who are the players? We won't talk trade back scenarios, but if the Cardinals in the first round, who are, say, your the top four players you would like to see them take?
You know, for me, it's really interesting, because I've been trying to think about this and like how I would rank the players. And so I think for me, I wouldn't rank them like necessarily one through four, but I would just group these four for me together. First one be Derek Harmon. I think he's going to be a very, very good player. Going to have a very successful long career with upside to be, you know, kind of Pro Bowl, All Pro level.
Mykal Risdon has him. Oh, sorry. Jeff Risdon ranks Derek Harmon number five on his entire draft board.
Yeah. And I think that makes sense. I mean, if you watch him play, he really fits what Arizona wants to do. He's long, he's athletic. He can work in the pass game, working against the run. Like, he gives you a really, really solid, talented player. Mykal Williams would be next for me. I know some people are lower on him, but I just think his work in the run game is so, so good, like so talented, that he's one of those guys I have a hard time seeing him fail, if that makes sense. Like, you know, he may never end up being the top player, but he also could be a guy that, you know, is a 8-10 year player where he's averaging, you know, 6 sacks a year and just gives you relentless effort on, you know, on the interior and allows you to be multiple in different ways. And the thing we got to remember about Williams more than anything, obviously the ankle injury bugged him all year. He's 20 years old, man. Like, it's a young dude that had a lot of success in a short amount of time at Georgia. It's not like we're talking about, you know, and I don't mean to throw things out, but like, it's not like we're talking about Boston College or Marshall, like with Mike Green or Donovan Ezeruku, who I love. But I mean, this was at Georgia again, you know, playing in the playoffs, in the college football playoffs consistently. from there, the hardest one to judge, but the guy that I think would have been the top offensive lineman, Josh Simmons. I think what he did before the patella injury was bordering on elite. He's worked heavily at both tackle positions, so he's got flexibility coming out. Like, there's not a question of if, oh, will he struggle if you have to move him to the right side? No, no, he's already been very successful on the right side in the college level. And then he, you know, one of the big things that we always talk about is these guys that do transfer, as long as they're going up and continuing to dominate. So to go from San Diego State to Ohio State and be that good, you know, that means a lot to me. And then my final one, you know, I go back and forth on a lot of these guys. I like a lot of these players. I think there's a lot of guys, Jihad Campbell, you know, Jalen Walker, all these guys that I think very highly of. But the guy that I would say would be four, and so he would just belong in that group of four with high expectations, is Walter Nolan. You know, you and I were talking about the other night with regards to, like, success in run and pass stop. There's a lot of guys that, you know, are good at one or the other, right? But Walter Nolan offers this insane, he's really good at both, which is very, very different to say. And then on top of that, he's a guy that has had success. He's, you know, a big athlete. I do always worry about the want to and things of that nature. That's always a concern when a guy has that reputation or has had that reputation. But, you know, we have to go off the information we have, right, and what we see on the field. And there are other guys I like. I mean, I mentioned it, Campbell, Walker, Kenneth Grant's one that I didn't mention that I really like. You mentioned Donovan Jackson. I love Donovan Jackson. I don't know if I take him at 16 necessarily, but I do love Donovan Jackson. So
yeah, I think Donovan Jackson is the perfect scenario for round two. That's my ideal pick. But if you get him later on, we're talking a trade. But at 16, so my wishful thinking is Jalen Walker. Okay. Jalen Walker's my wishful thinking pick, though I think he's unlikely. And so my preferred picks, if I'm kind of ranking them, I am falling into comfort with one, Michael Williams, and all for the reason that you mentioned. He's character is unquestioned. He's got, like Mel Kiper, he looks the part. He's got great physical traits. He takes coaching well. He does exactly what he's asked. And the fact he's only 20 years old, so there's a lot of upside. And what you talk about with his work in the run game, like, if you get a Jadavian Clowney type player, would that be terrible? That would actually be fantastic with that sort of way. So I'm kind of leaning towards, I think that's the direction that they want to go. Like, if they had a pick, Jalen Walker would be a deal. But if of the likely picks, I'm saying Micah Williams, one. I'm going to say Derek Harmon, two. And I think part of that is because I believe that Williams will be able to do more. We've talked about the depth in the defensive line room. Now, if you draft a DT in round one, it might be really easy to say, okay, now they're going to trade Dante Stills, or maybe there's an injury that happens that opens things up. But I think Dante, like, if they draft a DT in round one or round two, I'm firmly looking at Dante Stills and look at him. I'm like, you're going to be traded, aren't you? Because he is a guy that's got some juice. He would have some value as opposed to, you know, LJ Collier, who's got the 1 year deal. And they could cut him, but you have to eat some money because of the guarantees. So Michael Williams, number one, Derek Harmon, number two. You know, if I have to go like three, four, five, I do love the idea of Josh Simmons. And then I'm torn between Pierce out of Tennessee and Nolan. And then I go Calvin Banks. Because I think tackle's going to be, like, you could put Brandon Simmons. And I think the plan for year one for either Simmons or Banks would be right guard just for a year, assuming Jonah Williams is healthy, and kind of go from there and just kick him out there in year two. And Calvin Banks would have to adjust because he's only played left tackle in college. But nonetheless, that's kind of my round one. Micah Williams, Derek Harmon. I'm a toss-up between Pierce and Nolan, and then Simmons, Pierce, Nolan, and Banks. I'm leery of Shamar Stewart. I mean, I want another team to take that bet, not my team. Is how I view Shamar Stewart. I want another team to bet on that because I'm afraid of the potential bust.
And if it was on day two, I think both of us would be like, yeah, do it. Like, that's fine. But, you know, at 16, where you still need talent along your defensive line, you're not wanting to take that bet quite yet.
Yeah, and Jihad Campbell, I think, is a real possibility, but it's not my preference. It's not my preference, especially it's a position they could, and it would be nice, but like who was it that sent the group chat is kind of like, you know, maybe the best way to address the linebacker position is get someone who is just raw and athletic and plays for a few years, and then you just get him on the cheap, but now he's ready to be a starter, and then you just play him for 2 or 3 years, and then you do rinse and repeat, kind of like what they did with Kaiser White, what they did with Josh Woods, what they did with Mack Wilson, and now they're bringing in Akeem Davis Gaither and Michael Walker, guys that, you know, they've started some, but, you know, now they're going to have their opportunity in year 5, 6, 7 to kind of do that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I'm not ever big on getting inside linebackers early. I think people oversell it, and you know, the guys that have flourished lately, Fred Warner, Zach Bond, you know, those types, those were day two picks. That's why I've said all along, like, we'll talk about it shortly, but I'll say again who my guy is.
Yeah, and think about that is that you can, even the Cardinals, like, their best off-ball guys that they've had, if we think of the last decade and a half, 15 years, Carlos Stansby and Darrell Washington, right? And they were not first-round picks. They were day two picks. And so, yeah. Let's talk about the kind of the setup then. So coming up next on the Resist Here podcast, Mr. Cardinals talk with our last segment before we wait for the mock draft next week. Let's play out ideal player/position scenarios. That's coming next in Recipe Red. We're back on the Recipe Red podcast, best of our Cardinals talk on the web. Looking at potential ideal scenarios. And I'll be honest, I'm going to look, I kind of want to play out days one and two rather than day three, because day three, I'm more of day three, like, yeah, kind of whatever. But
I mean, we could talk about what could potentially be on, but like, yeah. guessing day three is literally it's easier just to throw darts at a board and be more accurate.
All right, I'd be more like talking day three, it'd be more like what positions would I like to see them get
exactly.
So what would be kind of your, if we're looking rounds one through three, what would be your ideal scenarios for players in those three rounds or positions at least?
Well, let me ask you this first. So do you think in this draft where interior D-line, and we can throw edge in there, and then interior offensive line, or like those day two offensive linemen, are so plentiful. Do you think it's key that they come away with one in the first 2 days for at each position?
You know, for the interior, I think they need to, honestly, I think, prefer if there was one on days one and two, and then another one early on day three, ideally. But, well, I don't know.
Well, okay,
I'm so not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It really is. So let's start. Let's start and say, you know, in round one, we'll go with, we won't say Jalen Walker falls because I feel like that's just too far. But
probably
let's say they go Mikal Williams at 16. All right. So that's you know, kind of edge defensive line type guy. So Mikal Williams at 16, where do you go at 47 then? Like, what is your next move?
So, ideal scenario, if edge is day one, so if it is Mikal Williams in round one, then for me, perfect scenario is Donovan Jackson.
Because he kind of answers
that would be my perfect.
Right. Because he kind of answers two questions, right? Like, he has vast experience at guard, but also he was elite when he had to fill in at tackle. To win a national championship. So, like, there's not a question of if he can do it. Because, I mean, we all literally watched him help Ohio State win a national championship playing at the tackle position. So, I mean, you're getting a guy in Donovan Jackson who you kind of just plug in, right? And you say, okay, if he needs to play, you know, guard, that's where he's best at, but he can play tackle if that's where we need him. I think Donovan Jackson is, like I said, like he's a sneaky trade back first round guy for this team. So ideally at 47, yeah, I would tend to agree with you there. Like that seems ideal. Now if they go Mikal Williams again, you now look at it and you go, okay, so he's more of an edge type, right? I mean, you look at his size, you look at what he is right now. Again, so young. So, you know, what he is or how he plays could all change. But with Mikal Williams off the board first, you know, you kind of go to would you take the next kind of interior defensive lineman, or do you think Williams, you know, could continue to grow, get big enough, blah, blah, blah. If you took a defensive lineman, obviously I think we're in agreement. Donovan Jackson's kind of the guy right there. If so, but if you took a defensive lineman, I want to give you four names and who would you pick? So you have in this like little area, just on, again, we're using the consensus board, doesn't mean nothing, but just gives us an exercise. If you have a choice between Tyleek Williams, the Ohio State interior defensive lineman, Darius Alexander, the Toledo defensive lineman, TJ Sanders, the South Carolina, and then Alfred Collins from Texas, is there a guy that you'd be like, yes, 47, I'm taking him, I'm not even thinking twice about it?
I would lean Williams slightly over Alexander, but I would be 100% on board with doing one of those two there. But I also have, then I have in round three, I have a player in mind for round three that I want them to go if that's the case.
So the reason I say that, and again, it's really difficult because, you know, once you get out of the first round, it's all kind of a toss up, right? But the idea of, I think we would agree, Mikal Williams, Donovan, or Mikal Williams to Donovan Jackson would be ideal. I mean, it, you know, you're getting a guy in Mikal Williams who doesn't have to start right away, but has the upside to be one of the premier, you know, players from this class. And then Donovan Jackson, you know, I don't think we can say enough positive things about him. He's a guy that immediately improves this offensive line, and really, you know, at either position.
Makes too much sense. He makes too much sense. He's really good at two positions. He fills an immediate need, so he can step in and start and be good. And the connection with him and Justin Fry, I'm convinced that the Cardinals will take Simmons, Donovan Jackson, or Seth McLaughlin in this draft. And if they don't, like, why did you get Justin Fry?
Right. Okay, so let's say, you know, ideal scenario, you get Williams, then you get Donovan Jackson. So who do you go with at 78, which is, you know, that third round pick? Are you dipping back into the defensive line, you know, and getting a true interior guy, or are you looking at one of these, you know, as we discussed, these linebackers, and we really haven't even brought up, you know, corner or wide receiver at this point either?
I think I'm leaning towards a wide receiver personally. Now, do I want that to be like, I've seen mocks like Ty Felton? No, I want to, if I have to pick Ty Felton, I want that round four. That's what I would ideally like. But in round three, if I'm looking at receiver, that's the tricky part. Who's the guy that I want in that range? Someone that, so a perfect scenario would be one of the Iowa State guys. Would be perfect if it's one of the Iowa State guys, whether it's Noel or Higgins, would be perfect. But doesn't that feel like, and if that's the case, maybe it's Isaac Tesla, right? Maybe that's the route that would be better to do, is get Isaac Tesla in round three.
Yeah, and so I think Tesla would be available in round four personally.
You think so?
Yeah. So in this scenario, I would come back onto the defensive line. You know, I think in this exercise, obviously, it's tough, but based on just what they've gone through, everything, I would lean towards Omar Norman Lott.
Okay. That's good.
The Tennessee defensive tackle. I think he's the closest thing to, like, obviously an insane comp, but like closest thing to like a Aaron Donald in terms of size and things of that nature. He's very athletic. He's very explosive. I think you could get, you know, something really good out of him. The way I would unfold this, and I know a lot of people are probably not going to agree with me, and that's okay. I don't really care. Is my ideal, and I said this the other day, my ideal would be Mykel Williams first. I would take Carson Schwechinger, the linebacker out of UCLA, in the second round. You know, I know they brought in Akeem Davis Gaithers. I know they have Mac Wilson. So, you know, if Schwechinger beats one of them out, it's fantastic, right? Like, if not, like, he has a year to develop, continue to build on his size and things of that nature. The hard part would be the third round, because the guy that I've really liked is now like all the way up into the 60s on the consensus board, and that's Tate Ratledge. So I don't know if he's going to be available in the third round.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go. If they go edge D line, Ratledge is for me the pick at 78. That would be ideal. So you go Williams, and I forgot Kenneth Grant. So if Kenneth, I would rank the DTs. I'd pick it at 47. Kenneth Grant, Tyleek Williams, Darius Alexander, and then if you go that, I'm hoping for Tate Ratledge for the guard spot. But yeah, like you were saying,
yeah, the one name that I've heard really positive things on, you know, I'm going to have to dive more into him over the next week or so while we still have time on this, but is Marcus Imbo. I don't even know. He's out of
the guy that Purdue, right?
Right. Like, I've heard really, really positive things about him. And he, that's where he's being, you know, kind of mocked at this point in that 65 to 80 range. So that would, you know, fall into that. So, so to your point, if you end up with, you know, edge, defensive line in rounds one and two, or defensive line, and, you know, maybe you, you know, take Derek Harmon at 17, and then you come back at 47 and you grab a guy like a Nick Scorton, who I've talked about on this podcast, or like a JT Tuimalo-Wow, you know, one of those guys, or the guy that everybody's got moving up the boards. And we talked about him, right? Femi Oladejo out of UCLA, Schlesinger's running mate. Like, if you come back and then it's, you know, again, Ratledge would be ideal. That would be, but if he's not there, and now you're looking, the Embo is who I've heard really positive things about. So I'm going to have to dive into him a little bit more, because it makes sense, you know, kind of addressing that. Now, if they go wide receiver, as you talked about, the one that I've kind of landed on personally, and again, I wouldn't take one until 80 or 78. I'm not going to get upset if they take a different one. I don't care. Not that I don't care, but like, what am I going to do? Get mad because they took a player I didn't, or, you know, sooner than I would. But Betch out of TCU makes a lot of sense, right?
Like, oh yes.
Good route runner.
Betch at 78 would be fantastic.
Right. You know, very, very good route runner. Good enough speed. And then he has the things that they've been looking for, right? Which is the size. Alik Iamanor is another one, another big guy, 6'2", 210. Good blocker. You know, those are the guys that you kind of are looking at. But the guy I've landed on, I think I talked about him the last time, so I won't go too far into it, but Kyle Williams, man. I really, really like Kyle Williams, and he's kind of flying up boards right now into that, you know, late day two stage. So by the time the draft gets around here, he might be the guy that we talk enough about, you know, and that he goes even before 78. You know, he's a guy with his size, speed, you know, his work out of different spots. And I just, you know, I see a lot of fit, and a guy that's caught a lot of passes, you know, and, you know, I'm not going to say he could be like Ladd McConkey. McConkey was a little faster. I think Williams was a 4.4 guy. McConkey was a 4.39, but, you know, similar style and route running and things of that nature. That's who I've kind of landed on. So those would be the three wide receivers I wouldn't hate at 78. But yeah, I mean, I think ideally, like we talked about, for me, it's something along the front set, or the front four, however you want to call it, or on the offensive line in day one, and then coming back and addressing one of those spots with that second round pick. Although, like I said, I would take Schlesinger in a heartbeat, because I really do think he's going to be kind of the next great inside linebacker.
I like another scenario. If they go, say, Harmon or Nolan at 16, then I would say Tuimalo. I really like the combination of size and production that Tuimalo offers from Ohio State. Then round three would be Ratledge / Embo. That would work as well. I would be 100% on board, because then you still hit one. It's like, because they got the guard, linebacker, and receiver spots that, you know, they have holes. They kind of have holes. You still hit one of those three positions in the first three rounds. If I had to pick, yeah. So, yeah. That's how I'd like that. So if you go Mykel Williams round one, Donovan Jackson round two, Round three, I could go with the deep tackle there. Like you could go Betch at receiver, or you could go, you know, C.J. West or Alfred Collins if he's fallen a bit on the defensive line. And then round four, I would be cool with the receiver. And I don't care what they do in rounds five or seven. I don't. As long as there's upside.
Yeah, and it's interesting. What is, I mean, I know this wasn't a topic, but like, is the your kind of nightmare? And again, Jess and I have gotten to the point where we're not overly concerned about what happens on draft night because it's so far out of our control. you know, that you can't, you know, you can latch on to people and want a prospect and everything, but it's, you know, unlikely to happen most of the time. But like, is your nightmare scenario similar to mine? Like, they go Matthew Golden and then come back and like grab a Trey Amos. And I love Amos, so I, you know, it wouldn't be a bad pick, but isn't that kind of like the nightmare that they take like, Golden and Amos and you're like, oh, okay, we're gonna run this.
I'd love Matthew Golden, but then you're like, but the edge and the defense line. Yeah, that would be wild. So that, I have definitely my favorites. Like I'm leaning towards, like I told you on the show before, and I've said I had a sneaky feeling that they're going to go offensive line. I'm pulling away from that based on all these visits that they did, that they're going to go front seven, probably edge. I'm leaning towards, if I'm going to pick, like, and I think that's going to be my pick in the mock next week for the Cardinals, will be Mykal Williams. And with the offensive lineman as a trade back, like Simmons/Banks will be an option if they trade back. I think that's going to be the case. Yeah. But they'll look at edge or DT. And then, so I would be 100% thrilled with about three or four scenarios where, like I said, if they get Williams, then they get Jackson, and then they get a solid DT in round three or a receiver. And if they did DT, then edge, then receiver/guard in round three, and any of those I'd be happy about. So, and then like I said, I don't care about rounds four through seven. There's all sorts of guys. I think they should get a receiver, but whatever. If they get an athletic safety for down the line, a tight end, a running back, I don't care. Rounds day three of the draft, I'm not going to get my, unless there's a particular player when we get to that day, there's some particular players on the board. I'm not going to go, oh, got to get that. I think there'll be players I think they target. I would 100% believe that Seth McLaughlin could be their fifth or seventh round pick just to have a guy in place, because he was really good, really, really good. And you've got Yeldon for two more years. Why not have a guy waiting? With that, we'll end this edition of the Rise Up Seahawks podcast, the best our Cardinals talk on the web. It's episode 656. We have one show next week, and that will be our mock draft. I think it's the 10th year in a row we've done it, our first round mock draft. And after that, we won't do another show until we can grade the draft the following week. But until then, that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. This is the Rise Up Seahawks podcast. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Seahawks podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.